Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome again to the Steve Jones Show. Kevin Hurst sitting in. Steve Jones joining us in a few from the Sunbury Motors Studio for the Wednesday edition, which really isn't a whole lot different than the Monday, Tuesday, Thursday edition. We have a couple of guests on today, one in particular talking a little hockey. That's right, it's time to start looking toward the inaugural season of Penn State varsity hockey. Guy Godowski, head coach of the hockey team at Penn State, will be on the program today. We'll also discuss a little bit more in detail on the situation with pitchers. Looks like Roy Oswalt is not going to be a Philly, as Steve suggested earlier this week. He is in later on. How bad is it for Terrell Owens? We'll be chatting about that a little bit. He can't even get going in the IFL. And the other question I want to know is, do you know what the IFL is? I honestly didn't even know what this was. I had to look it up. Terrell Owens trying to make a comeback in the NFL, and the former Pro Bowler was in the Indoor Football League. Now, this is not the Arena Football League. This is the Indoor Football League. Played for a team called the Allen Wranglers. I have no idea where that team is. Like I said, I've never seen an indoor football league game except for arena football. And from what I understand, this isn't the same thing. But a question everybody's asking is, what was it this time that made T.O. go away, or more specifically, be dismissed? And, well, president and co-owner of the team said the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back was that he was a no-show to a scheduled appearance at a local children's hospital with other Wrangler players and coaches. It is not the desire of the Allen Wranglers organization to disappoint fans by having the most notable player miss a scheduled appearance. Notable player? He's the only player I could tell you that was on that league. To say he's a notable player is probably an understatement, and then when you have him not show up, well, can't really blame him for letting him go.
You're bitter.
Listen, I'm not bitter. Listen, when you look at this even further, you're going to say the same thing. You're playing in the IFL, first off. You are the only name in a league that nobody heard of until you signed. And now you don't show up for a charity appearance. I'm sure there were other issues involved in that. I'm sure that's not the first time that happened. But, yeah, I'm sorry. You know, you are
Terrell
the highest profile. You're the highest
Terrell
profile.
Owens. It's Terrell Owens. You've wasted too much time on him and an insignificant league.
I didn't even know this league existed until Owens signed. I can't say I really cared that much that it existed when he signed. But nevertheless, you're the highest profile player there. You don't show up for something like this, see ya. Nice having you on the team.
You are bitter.
No, I just I just can't understand the mentality of players
it's
like
Terrell
that.
Terrell Owens.
But he's not the only one like that.
Get me the ball and then leads the league in drops. He led the league in drops. Get me the ball.
You go to the Pro Bowl for that?
You know, who cares? Me the ball. I tried. You kept dropping it.
It's not my fault. I can't help you catch it. I can only throw it between the 8 and the 1. You have to actually make the catch.
I mean, they're debating whether he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. I'm
no.
Going,
what, who? Wait. Who's debating that?
ESPN.
You're kidding me. They need to do random drug testing at the four-letter network, I swear, because there's no way he is a first ballot anything.
I'm just telling you.
That is just, he's not a first ballot anything.
I'm just telling you what they're debating.
Because the Hall of Shame, maybe.
They have 24 hours to fill.
Is he a first ballot Hall of Famer?
In terms of the number of touchdowns he has in his career, he's second all time to Jerry Rice.
I understand that, but there's more to being a Hall of Famer, as you know, than that.
Of course. Of course.
You know, and you want to look at things that way. Why has Jerome Bettis been so long to get in?
He wasn't that good.
Don't even go there.
I only said that to get your goat.
I was hoping you didn't believe that.
I only said that to get your goat. Don't.
You're just upset because he's a Notre Dame guy, that's all.
Nah, I'm upset because he caught that touchdown pass against Penn State in 92 in the Rudy game.
In the Rudy game?
Yeah.
In 92?
Yeah.
Explain that one to me. Why was that the Rudy game?
Oh, I have to explain everything.
I'm sorry. I'm sure somebody else is going the same thing. I'm just dumb enough to ask.
If you have watched the movie Rudy.
I have.
Have you noticed that when they get to the Rudy game?
Yes.
That there's snow falling?
Yes.
And have you noticed that the band on the field is the Penn State Blue Band?
No. But now I'm going to go home and watch that tonight to find out.
Yes. That's the Penn State Blue Band.
I did not know that.
Yes.
And Rudy was offside.
Yeah, I'm sure he was.
In the movie, he was, anyway.
Yes, I'm sure he was. That's fine. It's Sean Astin. He doesn't know any better.
It's a great T-shirt, though, I have to admit.
Yes.
That was one of the best T-shirts I had ever seen.
Rudy was offside.
Rudy was offside.
But you need B-roll. And they were I remember that day because I went past the area. They were filming certain scenes there, too, in the parking lot with the parents and things like that. And I remember walking into the stadium, and I saw where they were set up to do it off to the side. But I kept going because I didn't really care. And then, they're working like anybody else. And then when it came time to shoot some B-roll scenes, that's them in the stands at the Penn State game. That's them in the stand, the band and the B-roll and the shots and things like that. That's the Penn State 1992 game.
All of a sudden, Netflix is going to have a spike on the movie Rudy now tonight because everybody that listening is going to try and do what I'm going to do and try and find it.
That scene near the end.
No, I know where it is. I know the scene you're talking about. I just never noticed that it had anything to do with Penn State. I never noticed that.
Yeah.
And I do remember you discussing it one time now that you mentioned
1992. And I remember walking. I parked the car, and I remember walking past Loftus. The Loftus Sports Center, and then toward the stadium, and I saw the area where they were filming. You could see they were filming certain scenes. You're like, okay, fine. I kept on going in. Then when I actually saw the movie, showing the parents outside the stadium talking, okay, that's probably the scene they were shooting. And then they were then the stuff inside the stadium, them in the stands and so forth. That is the Penn State game, and then a couple of overhead shots, and that's the Penn State Blue Band that's on the field.
And it must be far enough away that you don't take notice to the clothing being different, because I never noticed the clothing being, time period-wise.
No, it's the same game.
Right, but I'm saying when you do a big shot of that, usually you can pick that out. Like, I'll give you a good example is Talladega Nights. You can tell the B-roll shots that they made from NASCAR races. Another one would be Days of Thunder. You can tell those B-roll shots because the cars look slightly different or, it's a different paint scheme or what have you. Than what you saw maybe earlier, but I never noticed the difference in the attire of what the people were wearing. I mean, there's a 20-year difference there.
20-year difference what?
It was about a 20-year difference from the time period that was supposed to be in.
Winter clothing's winter clothing.
No. The clothing was the clothing's definitely different. There's a lot of there was way too much tweed in that movie. To be in the 90s.
Well, and they are wearing tweed jackets in the crowd, but I mean, they didn't make the crowd dress up any differently.
Wouldn't that be a prerequisite to get a ticket?
As extras.
That's interesting. I remember you talking about that, but I just didn't, I didn't think about that being the game.
Yeah, that's the game.
Here's one for you. Best sports movie ever.
Best sports movie ever?
Yeah, and you don't have to answer this right away. You can think about it.
Besides Fever Pitch? No, I'm just kidding.
Fever Pitch. Oh, brother. I felt after watching that movie, somebody owed me at least the money for the rental back. Yeah, and you don't have to answer. I'll let you think about that one a little bit. Because I have to admit, I'm kind of tossed up between two. I liked Rudy.
Yeah.
I know. I liked Rudy because I liked the storyline in it. And even and I liked The Natural.
Natural's my favorite.
Even though it really wasn't a true story. I know it was kind of based on bits and pieces of stories. But,
yeah, but they'll tell you it's a true story.
No. You know that going in. But I have to admit, The Natural, there was just, I mean.
And you know where they filmed that.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Go ahead. It's gone.
Buffalo.
Thank you.
War Memorial Stadium
War
in Buffalo.
War Memorial Stadium. There you go.
Which is where O.J. Simpson started his professional career after when the Bills drafted him. They had not built Rich Stadium, Wilson Stadium yet.
And, of course, there's, you know, you got the ending scene where he hits the ball into the lights and all the lights spraying, you know, the homemade fireworks, as I like to call them, at the end of the movie.
Oh, sure. It's all part of the effect.
I mean, there were Brian Song's a good sports movie, too. I'm not taking anything away from those.
Well, Brian Song was excellent. Billy Dee Williams, Brian Piccolo. James Caan starred as Brian Piccolo. Yeah, so, I mean, let's find out from the crowd. What's their favorite sports movie of all time? 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. What sports movie? I mean, it could be something for Joey. Could be Field of Dreams. Could be Major League.
The only problem with Field of Dreams was it was just a little too... I mean, I liked the storyline in that, but it was a little too far-fetched. Now, Major League, Major League, the first one was good, but for me it was Euchre. Euchre made the movie for me. Berenger was okay, but Euchre made the movie.
Sure. Now where's that filmed?
Cleveland, and was it Memorial or Municipal?
No, they filmed it at a county stadium in Milwaukee.
Did they really? I did not know that either.
Yes.
Well, this has been an enlightening program in the first 18 minutes.
It usually is on my end. All right, our number
now,
one.
Come on. That's cold.
Number
That's cold.
What? We're going to have Guy Gadowski, the Penn State ice hockey coach, on after Sarah's news at the bottom of the hour, 3:35. Barty hasn't been on the show in a while.
Well, that's been because she's on every day. She does the news.
See, I can tell you don't want her on. I can tell. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. By the way, Major League 2 was filmed at Camden Yards in Baltimore.
That I knew.
Major League 3 was at City Island in Harrisburg.
I know. That was the only thing that was interesting about that entire movie. I watched it.
Andrew in Mount Pleasant Mills at 1-800-795-9565. Andrew, thanks for being a part of the extravaganza today.
Oh, an extravaganza? I don't know if I'm quite up to that.
Oh,
that's
hey,
right. Andrew, neither are we.
Andrew, we have to build it up. We have to give it the big world feel here.
All right. Well, you're going to love this then. You asked about the best sports movie.
Yes.
I got to say, I'm not a big sports fan, really, but I love sports movies. Does Caddyshack count?
Caddyshack counts? Absolutely, Caddyshack counts.
All right, then any Caddyshack, Happy Gilmore, and anything that mocks golf is my top of my list. And the second for total cheese and total 80s as far as like being the essence of the 80s and its soundtrack and everything, Vision Quest. You got to be a certain age to like that movie, and I'm that age.
Better soundtrack, though.
It does. It has a better soundtrack than almost every other 80s movie ever made. It's actually Madonna's film debut, if that matters to you, trivia folk. But yeah, there's something about Vision Quest. There weren't no one else was making movies about real wrestling, as opposed to professional, you know, wrestling. Mm-hmm. But yeah, loved Vision Quest when I was 15, and I still have. I kind of wish they put it on Blu-ray.
And listen, how many of us have been on the golf course when it rains and said, "I don't think the heavy stuff's coming down for quite some time."
I've never played golf. That's why I like the movies to mock golf. But, yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of elements of those films that as a non-golfer I got to love, but I'm sure I'd appreciate on a different level if I actually played golf.
Right in the lumberyard, Danny.
Believe me, Andrew, many of us at the broadcast facility of champions at AKA WKOK have often said, Moose, Rocco, help Kevin find his wallet.
So there's my input for best sports movie.
You
and
did
Hoosiers.
A great job. Way to go. And Hoosiers.
Oh, yeah. Hoosiers, there's a good one.
Yeah,
Hoosiers. That's a top
five.
Hoosiers.
And Hoosiers, right. Of course, is legit in terms of the storyline. Yep. Andrew, thanks so much. Our number 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. What's your favorite sports movie? Guy Gadowski, also from Penn State Hockey, coming up to talk about their schedule at 3:35. After Sarah, who's been obviously knocked out of the open segments of the show by Kevin's jealousy. 1-800-795-9565. Favorite sports movie? Love to hear yours as we continue with the Steve Jones Show on WKOK after this.
Sunbury Motor Company, a tradition of trust since 1915. We have the largest selection of new and used Fords, Lincolns, Hyundais, and Kias anywhere. You want a new Ford? You got it. A 2012 Ford Fiesta four-door sedan, just $232 per month. And it gets 38 miles per gallon. And if you really want to save mileage money, come get a new 2012 Hyundai Veloster, three-door coupe with 40 miles per gallon on the highway for just $292 a month. Swing on over to Sunbury Motors Kia and try on a new 2012 Kia Forte four-door sedan for just $18,230. And when it comes to used cars, well, just head over to sunburymotors.com and search our huge selection of pre-owned vehicles where you can use our black book and take the guesswork out of trading in your old car. We give you easy access to the most up-to-date internet car buying tools. There's a reason we're number one. So come check us out today at Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, located at 943 North 4th Street in the Auto Plaza, or Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, or go to sunburymotors.com.
All right, what's your favorite sports movie? Just received another nomination online. A League of Their Own.
That's definitely a good choice. That's a top fiver.
There's no crying in baseball.
Absolutely.
Unless you're Jim Leland. After a play that should have been reviewed if he had two challenges. That crushes you.
Yeah, I know. I know. I fortunately, we already passed the 15-minute mark, so I did not win on the pool. How long would it take Steve to remind you that he said Roy Oswalt was going to Texas? So I kind of lost out on that.
I never said anything about it.
I know that. That's what I'm saying. I had 15 minutes. I had 15 minutes, but I lost the pool.
I have connections. I know what's going on.
Sean Carey said 3 seconds in, but that's all right.
Mm-hmm.
Sean said 3 seconds in. So
No, it's not the kind of show we operate here. We try to give people information ahead of time so they know what's going on, have a better feel for it. That way, when the news actually comes down, they're not surprised. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. What's your favorite sports movie? Heard Caddyshack so far, League of Their Own. As nominations so far, what's yours? Guy Gadowski, by the way, Penn State men's ice hockey coach, on the schedule coming up at 3:35 following Sarah in the news, is that we've received more requests for more interviews because they notice Kevin's not on them.
I can see their interest then.
What? Cold. By the way, tomorrow we're going to have a representative on from Shut Helmets.
That's going to be good. That'll be interesting to see what they're trying to do and how they're trying to, you know, make these helmets safer, especially at the younger levels.
And it'll be very informative for you because you want to put everybody into a box before a game.
Oh, boy. No, I just want common sense to be used in a game. Common sense as a pitcher is never going to catch a fly ball in the outfield.
Shagging fly balls. Guess what? It's not that difficult. Okay, not that hard.
All right.
Okay. Wasn't out there trying to hit a sled, a blocking sled, and then do something? No.
That would be really dumb.
No.
Yes. And by the way, you can tear. The only six pitchers have had torn ACLs in the last how many years? That's it. You know, but you want to put everybody into a box. I understand. Completely. Your favorite sports movie.
Oh, here's one. Oh, I'm sorry, Steve. Here's one, though, that is really good that we actually overlooked, that I actually overlooked. Miracle.
Yes, the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team. Kurt Russell was outstanding in that.
Amazing.
Especially with the slight Minnesota accent, which he kept the entire movie. Did very well with that. He plays in CSI New York, one of the detectives. He played the goalie.
Oh yeah. I'll look it up because I don't remember his name.
Yeah. He played the goalie. He's in CSI New York now as one of the detectives. I think he's the last one in the credits, as a matter of fact.
See, this is why they invented the internet right here.
He played Jim Craig.
I'll have it after the news. I guarantee it.
He says, are you mad at me, Herb, because I wouldn't take your test? He says, no, I want the goalie that wouldn't take the test. Our number, 1-800-795-9565, a guy that knows hockey and plenty of it, Guy Gadowski, the head coach of the Nittany Lions, following the news at the bottom of the hour with Sarah Bartlett. Your favorite movies at 1-800-795-9565 as we continue on WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. We're looking for your favorite sports movies, and we have some great nominations, which we'll get back to in just a few minutes. As promised, we bring in the head coach of the Nittany Lion ice hockey team, heading into the first varsity season of Penn State hockey since 1947. The Nittany Lions will open October 12th against American International, AIC, out of Springfield, Massachusetts. We'll be here on October 12th. And then in Wilkes-Barre, they'll play game two on October 13th of the two-game set. And they'll move it around the state. We bring in Guy Gadowski, the head coach of the Nittany Lions. Guy, welcome to the show. And I want to get to the difficulty in putting together a schedule. You're putting together essentially what is an independent schedule in season one. So you don't have the luxury of having a series of conference games set up. You'll have 20 conference games that will be automatically set for you in the 2013-2014 season. But you don't have that luxury this time around. You have Union, who was in the Frozen Four. You have Michigan State. You have Wisconsin. Those are all on the road. How difficult was it to set up an independent schedule, considering that other schools have conference schedules that they have to deal with as well?
Absolutely. Because of those two things, you're right. It's not an easy thing, but I'm very happy with how it came out. And actually, we played, I'm sure you've noticed on it, there's three weekends away that are going to be very, very difficult. One's Union, two at Union, who just went to the Frozen Four. Two at Michigan State and two at Wisconsin. And in fact, we were supposed to play those two Big Ten opponents earlier in the year, but Bill Downey was able to finagle things a little bit and give us a chance to play them later in the year, which is very difficult for what you said earlier, that they're in the midst of their conference schedule, and it was very difficult. So in that sense, very, very happy how things turned out.
And no question about that. That's the thing that jumped out to me right away was to see Union on there. It didn't surprise me to see some Big Ten on there. But when I saw Union on there, and I just watched them in Tampa on TV in the Frozen Four, that was a pretty good get, especially around Thanksgiving weekend.
It is. It's going to be, I think, a real barometer, I guess, for us. We do play some Division I schools, obviously, before that. We play Air Force is going to be very good games. We'll play Army and RIT, American International to start with. But certainly to play a team like Union, and actually they're a pretty young team. They didn't lose a lot. They did lose one of their top scorers who signed in the NHL. but they're still going to be, 90% of the same team that you saw in Tampa. So I think it's going to be a great barometer for where we are at the time. And, being in the ECAC in the past 7 years, I know that's a very, very difficult building to play in. So it's going to be a great test.
And then, of course, you already alluded to the four Big Ten matchups, two at Michigan State, two at Wisconsin. One's at the end of January, one's at the end of February. Strategically, do you like the placement of it? Because it would give you, quote, some time to get your team together in balance, building as the season goes along?
Very much so. And like I said, I think initially we were supposed to play them earlier, I believe in November, and we were able to get that changed. What I think means, I think it's a big difference. Obviously, everybody is a Division I freshman next year. Everybody. Well, we do have two transfers that, or a couple transfers that played played a little bit before, but basically everybody else. We are all Division I freshmen, all rookies. So to give us a few more months to prepare and do things, I think, is going to be huge. I think you could go in and play a great opponent like Michigan State early and not learn a ton because you're still trying to develop your own game. This gives us an opportunity to work on ourselves, get an idea of what we're all about, and then take it and to see how it equates against a Big Ten opponent. So I'm very thrilled with that. That's a lot better option as far as I'm concerned.
And, Guy, the other part is there may be another Big Ten team you could play in there because of the tournament at Consol Energy that includes
right.
a very good Miami of Ohio program and what Dick Girardi and I always refer to as Bobby Moe, Robert Morris.
That's right.
But that's a great tournament, though.
It is a good tournament. I think as things are coming out, I don't know if it's 100% yet, but it looks like we will play your Bobby Moe on Friday. And then on Saturday, either play Ohio State or Miami, Ohio. Either one of those will be excellent tests. And that's going to come at the end of December. So that will be great for us as well.
Also, at the same time, there's some fill part in there with three ACHA opponents. Arizona State, which has always been a really good ACHA program. Oklahoma, which has come on as an ACHA program. And maybe as bitter a rival as Penn State has had in its ACHA days in Ohio University.
Yeah, and I think it's great. We had to fill our schedule, and really no one knew how recruiting was going to go and how things were going to shape up. So I think it was important that we get a mix of programs, and we don't know where we stand yet. It might be you certainly want to see your team play some offense, and who knows where we're going to be against some of the other Division I programs. Maybe we're going to be on our heels the entire time, and this will give us a chance to explore offense a little bit too. Or who knows? You never know. But I like the mix of it. Obviously, the fact that we have some traditional rivals with the ACHA program, I think, is great. I know that those coaches reached out to us, and we're very grateful for the opportunity to play. So I think it's great for everybody, and it's nice to have. I think some of the fans here that remember the days of Ohio University coming to town, I think are going to enjoy that a lot.
Also, there's a little bit of a road show here involved. I mentioned already Consol Energy with the tournament, but you're also going to play Vermont at Wells Fargo. You also have the second AIC game at the Mohegan Sun Arena up in Wilkes-Barre. Yep. And, of course, you mentioned RIT. That will be at Rochester, which, of course, Terry Pegula owns the Americans. So just to get the program around the state in strategic areas, give us an idea how much that helps.
It's something that the fans really wanted. When I had a chance to go recruiting and even on the caravan, the coach's caravan, there was questions about will we be able to see the team in their city. So we are playing in different cities around the state and allowing – Penn State fans to come out and see the team there. So I think it's creating a lot of excitement in that sense. They're very happy about it. I think it's good to take our show on the road, especially before Pegula's open. Obviously, when the beautiful building is here, we're going to want to stay at home as much as possible. So the timing is certainly right, and I know a lot of fans are very grateful for it.
After you go up to Storrs to play UConn at the start in January, you come back and you play the U.S. National Under-18 team. How did that come about?
Yeah, typically they will play a number of Division I college opponents, and the games, actually one of them will be an exempt game, and it's great for those players to sort of take a look around and see the different teams. A lot of them are the highest, they're very high profile players that are playing for the national program. The games, they take them very seriously. It's the top games they play. They will play a junior schedule as well. But to give them a chance to play college opponents is something they really look forward to because they're showcasing themselves to those colleges. A lot of the times these players are already committed to colleges, but they're always good games. It gives us a chance as well to see some of the top players in the country. So it's a win-win situation.
Also, as you have gone around, and we've talked about this before, there's always excitement because, you know, I mean, people are excited about getting Division I ice hockey back going again for the first time since 1947 here. At the same time, I've also mentioned to you that, you know, affectionately, you're an expansion team.
Right.
For you now, how do you, on the recruiting trail, give us a sense of the reception of Penn State being Division I varsity is getting, at least in terms of pure reception and doors opening?
You know what? Phenomenal. In any college areas that we go, Penn State is the number one story. Penn State coming into college hockey is huge, and it's huge for, obviously, the formation of the Big Ten Hockey Conference, which never has happened before. Big Ten hockey teams have dominated their respective conferences and dominated the national scene. They have the most NHL alumni, the most national championships, the best buildings, the most excitement. I mean, these programs have been just destroying the national scene for a long time. So to put them all in one Big Ten conference is really exciting. It gets a lot of exposure. The Big Ten Network was obviously a huge driving force behind this. They want it on TV. It's now going to be across North America. So it's going to be great for college hockey. So the reception that we're getting going anywhere in the nation where college hockey already has a presence has been phenomenal. Going up to Canada, they know all about Penn State coming into Division I hockey. So I tell you, everywhere that I go, as well as the other coaches recruiting, you know, the people want to talk about Penn State. It's something great for college hockey and great for hockey. Like you said, it's an expansion franchise. I just wish we had that first overall pick. I wish it worked like that. But doesn't work quite like that.
That'd be nice. Yeah, the first overall pick, and then, of course, you'd have the seventh overall pick because there are six schools in the Big Ten and so forth. That'd be nice. I want to explore the Big Ten Network part. College hockey is on in certain pockets. NESN has a package in New England. Fox Sports Midwest has a package, obviously. And CBS Sports Network has a package. I see some Notre Dame, Miami of Ohio games on there once in a while. But to have the Big Ten Network to be on in 75 million homes with a regular televised package, what kind of impact do you think that can have on the game, not just Penn State and the other Big Ten schools, but the game?
That's right. Exactly. So right now, college hockey is in a bit of a turf war with major junior hockey. Major junior hockey is primarily in Canada where the players, once you play major junior, are actually deemed ineligible to play college because they're basically pros. They get paid, and it's how it works. And it's a very successful, major junior hockey is very successful. They get a lot of NHL guys. Graduates, they draw very well in their locations. So the war has basically been major junior hockey can get these guys early because the NCAA rules permit us from contacting them. With the Big Ten Network being in so many households and all across North America, it gives college hockey a platform to educate these families about college hockey, not just major junior. It might not be so important in Minnesota or Massachusetts or Michigan, but in places like Saskatchewan and Alberta and Manitoba, it is very important. So the Big Ten Network coming on board because of the Big Ten Hockey Conference is, as you said, it's going to be huge for hockey and huge for college hockey, not just Penn State, not just this area or the Big Ten schools. It's going to be great for all of college hockey.
In fact, I've watched some of the Memorial Cup on the NHL Network the last week or so. That's the junior championship right there. And that's exactly, you know, but what will happen is the NHL television network doesn't have the same reach as the Big Ten Network does, and at least in this on this side of the border. That's big for what you want to do.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're getting more and more colleges doing better and better in the NHL. You look at Minnesota, one of our Big Ten counterparts. I mean, they had I think 18 NHL draft choices on their team. So this is a different deal. The quality of these programs are huge, and I think, but across the border especially, people don't understand how good college hockey is and how much fun college hockey is, and certainly is going to be, in terms of environment, Pagoula Ice Arena is going to rock it. I mean, there's not going to be a better place in my mind. With knowing the student body here at Penn State, it's going to be phenomenal. So for the Big Ten Network to show that in so many homes and across the border, it's going to be an education, I think, for a lot of people.
When you have crossed the border and your staff has crossed the border to talk to youngsters, have they, north of the border, grasped Penn State and what Penn State's trying to do and had a grasp on what the Big Ten is trying to do in college hockey in general? Is there a better sense compared to where it may have been even a year ago?
I think people are aware of it, and certainly Penn State brand really brings a lot of that. I think Mr. Pagoula brings some of that. I think that, you know, people know that he's involved in the Buffalo Sabres. They like that. I think they understand what the Big Ten brand, the Penn State brand, but I think until they actually see a game on TV that they're really going to grasp what this is all about. So there's certainly more and more awareness across the border. There's excitement across the border. There's a desire to be a part of it. But I really feel once the Big Ten, once the Big Ten conference starts and you're able to see games on a weekly basis in such great buildings, like Yost is just a tremendous place to see a game and the environment. Obviously, Pagoula Ice Arena, I really think it's just going to take off.
Biggie Munn.
That's right.
Biggie Munn Arena, yeah. Right up there. You decided when you came in here a year ago that you would coach the ACHA team this past season. 11 of those players are making the transition over with you. The fact that you did that, stayed in the coaching area of it, and coached these players, just in the pure feel of what you have in those players moving forward, give us an idea of the advantage of what this past season gave to you.
Well, I knew that we would be moving forward playing Division One with a large number of those players. So I think, as you said, to get a feel of those players was very important. Besides that, boy, I really enjoyed coaching them. They're really, really good people, and I'm excited for them to get the chance to come to play, you know, to play club hockey, and then to get the opportunity to play Division One hockey, to go to Wisconsin, to go to Michigan State. I mean, what an opportunity! I'm really happy for them, and I think, you know, it was the right thing to do. I love coaching. I've grown to love the student body here, and I know that I couldn't sit back and watch it, but it was really nice to get to know the players. I think we have a better feel, obviously, for what we have going into it. It was the right thing to do, and most importantly, I was very, very impressed with the quality of the guys. I think it's something about Penn State. I think it weeds out a little bit guys that aren't quality. You know, Penn State people are quality people, and I really enjoyed getting to know them.
Well, and certainly, well, you're a part of it now, believe me. I said to Bill O'Brien when we were flying back from Scranton, I looked over at him. I said, I can't wait to get to September 1st. And he looked at me and says, no kidding. How anxious are you to get to October 12th?
Oh, man. You know, we've been thinking that way for a while. It's so much fun right now, and not only in terms of the player personnel, but we're hiring equipment managers, we're hiring athletic trainers, we're hiring strength coaches, the whole thing, just to bring it together and to see how we are. We're, you know, you can guess. Our coaching staff are like, man, I think this guy is going to do that, and this recruit's going to do that, and this player who we've had here, he's going to do this, and you don't really know until you get it. This is new for everybody. This is brand new. This isn't something that's ever going to happen again. So we just want to get it going. We want to see what we have. We want to move forward. I tell you what, I just can't wait to get closer to that Big Ten Hockey Conference. That's going to be something special.
You and me both. I cannot wait to see it. Guy, I want to thank you for the time you gave us today. I know you carved out a slice of your schedule to do so. I always appreciate it and enjoy talking with you very, very much.
Steve, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
Guy Gadowski, head coach of the Nittany Lion ice hockey team, joining us on the show today. What is your favorite sports movie of all time, other than obviously the bloopers that we have on stevejones.com of Kevin trying to play sports? We'll come back with more in a moment at 1-800-795-9565 after this on WKOK.
Where'd it go?
Right in the lumber yard. It's okay, we'll work on it.
That's my favorite line from that movie. Where'd it go?
Caddyshack.
Right in the lumber yard.
Yeah. That's all right. we'll buy it.
We'll work on it.
1-800-795-9565. What is your favorite movie? Drew Kelly, by the way, texted me. He said Rudy was offside. I guess he's run the tape back. I know you're going to look at it tonight to see the Penn State scenes.
I'm looking for the blue band in it.
Yeah, well, you'll see the blue band. Okay.
I believe you. I believe you.
We have no choice. It's accurate. Our number is 1-800-795-9565.
As far as you know, it's accurate anyway.
I was there.
I believe it. I believe you. We'll, by the way, give you the top 25. We'll give you the top 25 according to a recent survey before the show ends.
I want our survey, okay? Then we'll get to that.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Before it ends. Before the show ends. Yeah. I want to do it now.
Let's see. NFL will keep Pro Bowl 2013. They'll play in Hawaii. Celtics take on the Heat tonight. Celtics will win, which will then send the ESPN people into an absolute tizzy. They'll be like, what?
Is that a stone-cold lead pipe lock from Steve Jones?
Well, I did say on Friday in the show, what did I say? Celtics would win Game 7, would do it with some conviction, but would lose Game 1.
I'm still debating about the conviction part.
No, they won by 10. I mean, down the stretch, they took them apart.
Okay, I was going to say, when you look at the score, though, I mean, I wouldn't say conviction them, there, but...
Well, they took them apart. I mean, now at the end, I mean, at the end of the game, it wasn't even, there wasn't any doubt. I mean, reserves were in. That's usually an indication you've got it.
You know, that's often something you don't see in the box score at the end of a basketball game. A basketball game that was really good could be a 10-point game at the end because of foul shooting and so forth.
Right. Right. Let's see. Royals waltz with the Rangers. He's going to have 4 starts in the minors before they work him up. Stanley Cup final opens tonight. I do admit we are working, by the way, on trying to get Doc Emmerich on the show.
He is probably the... Actually, you know what? Not probably. He's the best-known hockey announcer ever.
Actually, he won the Emmy last year for best play-by-play guy, period.
Oh, really? For that was I knew he won an Emmy. I didn't realize it was not sports-specific.
Yeah, it was not just as the top hockey guy, period. He won the Emmy.
I mean, I can't imagine a hockey game without hearing him.
No, he's the best at what he does. So we are working on that because I think our fans would love to hear him. So, what is your favorite sports movie of all time? Is it The Natural? Is it Caddyshack? A League of Their Own. Kevin's High School Bloopers Tape.
That was a long movie, too.
But it's the one I voted for. I got more laughs out of that than 8 Caddyshacks combined.
I'm here for your amusement.
The play where you tripped?
Your station for news, weather, business, and Fox Sports Radio is News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.